Welcome to At the Organ, a weekly show about the classical organ and its music, heard on organlive.com every Sunday or streaming from our website anytime. Just point your browser to attheorgan.com for more information. Now, let's hear what's happening this week at the organ.
Hi, and thanks for joining me today on At the Organ. My name is Brent Johnson, and today we remember Leon Belmon, Horatio Parker, and Francois Couperin. But first, hello Carol, are you there?
Hey Brent, thank you for calling. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. We want to know how your 12-hour marathon on the Spreckels organ went last Sunday.
It went incredibly well. We had a lot of media coverage right at the beginning, and then they came right back at the end. I got through the 12 hours, and we made the goal there. So we're still getting donations in. That was great.
So you got very close to your expected goal of $12,000.
Yes.
And can our listeners still donate via your website if they missed out?
Oh, please. Yeah, don't stay up for, I'm not sure how long we'll keep it up, but we'll certainly keep it up for, you know, a couple of weeks, I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely. If they can donate every, you know, people just from all over the country, and it's really been really great. Very generous of people. Well, they're indeed. You've been to end the town.
Carol Williams is the civic organist for the City of San Diego. We heard her on last week's show as she was preparing to play a 12-hour fundraising marathon organ concert. You can still donate to Operation Rebound. A link to her website can be found on ours at theorgan.com. Today is Sunday, September 9th, and it's the 150th birthday of French composer Leon Belmon. He was born in 1862 in the Alsace region of France, right on the border, in an area that has at various times been a part of Switzerland, Germany, and eventually France. When we talk about Belmon, we have to mention his two teachers, Gustave Lefebvre and Eugène Gigoux. Belmon left home to study with them at the School of Classical and Religious Music, also known as the Niedermeyer School, in Paris, at the age of 9. Since he was so young and a long way from home, Gigoux adopted the young Leon as his own son. That sounds a little strange today, but in fact, Gigoux had no children of his own, and he was, as it turns out, Leon's uncle. Now, to make the family web even more tangled, Lefebvre and Gigoux were in-laws, and young Leon grew up and married Lefebvre's daughter, who would have been Gigoux's niece and Leon's own cousin. With such a pedigree, though, Belmon couldn't help but be a successful musician. His talents as an organist and composer, and his warm demeanor, allowed him to travel all across France, performing on all different types of organs to great acclaim. Sadly, Belmon died at the young age of 35 in 1897, and his wife died the following year. We don't know exactly why, but signs point to tuberculosis. Gigoux raised Belmon's three children as his own, and one of the three, Marie-Louise Belmon Gigoux, went on to be an organist and teacher herself. In the span of 16 years, Belmon composed about 160 pieces in many different genres. He followed in the footsteps of César Franck and Camille Saint-Saëns, but he still managed to find his own voice. Without a doubt, his most popular work is the Suite Gothique. The work was written in 1895, 2 years before his death, and it was immediately popular. This four-movement work is distinctive and powerful. It opens with a large, loud chorale alternating between full organ and closed full swell. This is followed by a dancing minuet and then by the Prière, a gentle, soft movement utilizing the flutes and strings of the organ. This is followed by a fiery toccata with a martial theme played in the pedal. The work isn't terribly difficult to play, which helps with its popularity, although the most talented hands help bring out the best in this work. Here is organist Rachel Lorraine at Notre Dame Cathedral Basilica in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, playing the Prière and the toccata on the cathedral's 1892 Cassavant organ.
Thank you.
You are listening to At the Organ.
Today we also remember François Couperin, who died 279 years ago this week on September 11th. Born into a family of talented musicians in Paris, he's given the nickname Le Grand, meaning the Great, to distinguish him from the rest of his family. François was born in 1668 and is listed among the second period of French classical musicians, a group that's credited with establishing the style. He began his musical instruction with his father Charles. Charles died when François was just 10 years old, so his studies continued with the royal organist Jacques Tomelin. François's first real post was as organist of Saint-Gervais in Paris, a position his father had previously held, and when François moved on, his cousin Nicholas took the post. Later, other Couperins would have this job as well. In 1693, François succeeded Tomelin as royal organist at the Chapelle Royale in Versailles, becoming organist to King Louis XIV. 24 years later, Couperin was also appointed court composer. He presented weekly concerts for the court, usually for small orchestra and harpsichord. Couperin was a keyboard virtuoso. In his life, he published 4 volumes of harpsichord music, containing over 200 pieces. We know that Johann Sebastian Bach knew of these volumes and admired Couperin's work. The harpsichord works usually had descriptive titles and were in specific keys to elicit the correct mood of the work. They weren't grouped into suites, as was the common practice at the time, but Couperin's own system of grouping called orders. In addition, François published a book called The Art of Harpsichord Playing, with information on ornamentation, touch, and fingering. For organists, Couperin only published 1 collection, containing 2 masses. The manuscript is from about 1689 or so, when he was only about 21, so his fame and influence had yet to come. As a result, these works weren't immediately published. He had different intentions for these 2 masses. One, titled Mass for the Parishes, was intended to be used in parish churches. The second, Mass for the Convents, was intended to be used in convents or abbey churches. The structure of both is much the same, divided into the same parts as the Latin Mass, Kyrie, Gloria, Sanctus, Agnus Dei, as well as an added offertoire and Deo Gratias to end the Mass. In the Parishes Mass, Couperin uses plain chant as a basis for his compositions. The convent mass does not, as each convent and monastery maintain their own body of chant melodies for worship. Like all French organ music of the period, Couperin included in the titles of his pieces the registration of the work. For instance, here's part of his Mass for the Convents. The work is entitled Crumhorn sur la Taille, and indeed we hear the crumhorn stop used for the melody. This performance is by John Cummings, played on a not-quite-French classical Schoenstein organ in First Plymouth Congregational Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. Before we go on, I can definitely say this week that the Oregon Media Foundation's new project, Positively Baroque, is up and running. This is our 24-hour audio stream of classical organ music just from the Baroque period. You can definitely hear more Cooper on there. The website is complete and stream links can be found at the top of the page. It's at the station's website, positivelybaroque.com. Thanks to all of our sponsors who make what we do possible. If you want to help support the Oregon Media Foundation, just go to organmedia.org for more information. I also want to thank Pro Organo for their support of this show. All of the music you're hearing today comes from Pro Organo CDs. Links to purchase the music you're hearing can be found on our website, attheorgan.com, under the link for the September 9th, 2012 show. You can also listen to past episodes and find links for that music as well. And now we go to America to remember Horatio Parker, who was born 149 years ago this week on September 15, 1863. Born near Boston in Auburndale, Massachusetts, Parker actually showed very little interest in music as a child. His mother played the piano and attempted to introduce him to it, to no avail, until suddenly, sometime in 1877, he found himself in love with music and would spend hours at the piano until his father made him go to bed. At 15 years old, he was already composing, and at 16, he was appointed organist and director of music at St. Paul's Church in Dedham, Massachusetts. Not long after, he began studying with George W. Chadwick. At 18, Parker left for Munich to begin studying organ under Joseph Rheinberger. There, he became Rheinberger's favorite pupil, so much that Parker was selected to premiere Rheinberger's Organ Concerto in F in Munich. In 1885, he returned to America and began teaching at St. Paul's and St. Mary's School in Garden City, Long Island. He held several organist positions, including St. Andrew's and then Holy Trinity, both in New York. In 1893, he moved back to Boston and became organist and music director at Trinity Church there, and the next year was appointed professor of music at Yale University. Although a talented organist, Parker was best known for his choral and operatic compositions. His most famous choral work was entitled Ora Novissima and premiered in Boston in 1893 to rave reviews. In 1901, Parker was awarded the Paderewski Prize for his cantata, A Star Song, and 10 years later he won a $10,000 prize from the Metropolitan Opera for the best opera written in English by an American composer for his opera titled Mona. We'll end the show today with an organ work of Parker's, played by Fred Homan on the E.M. Skinner organ of Grand Avenue United Methodist Temple, Kansas City, Missouri. This is Parker's Opus 6, No. 1, titled Festival Prelude. Remember, if you have any comments for me or our production team, you can email us at info@attheorgan.com. And if you want to join in the discussion about this show, visit our website, attheorgan.com, where you can leave comments for us and our other listeners. You can also find links to our Facebook page and our Twitter feed, both of which we update with bits of organ music history throughout the week. I'm Brent Johnson, and I'll meet you here next time at The Organ. Thank you.
listening to At the Organ, a weekly look at the art and music of the classical organ. We'd love to hear your comments about the show. Send your email to info@attheorgan.com or just go to our website where you can comment on the show. There you can also hear this week's show again or find back episodes. The address is attheorgan.com. At the Organ is a production of the Organ Media Foundation. For more information about supporting the foundation or sponsoring an episode of At the Organ, go to organmedia.org. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet you here next week at the Organ.